Today's reading is from Luke 11, 9 and 10. Please turn to Luke 11, 9 and 10 in your Bible, or turn to page 844 in the Bibles provided for you. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You may be seated. Children may go to children's church.
Can you go to the frog picture, please? The frog picture comes to you via the VA Medical Center circa 1993. I can remember it was at the nursing home care unit section. I could show you that nurse's station. I don't remember if it was a nurse or a ward clerk, but she had this picture, which I call the frog picture. It was in black and white, and I said, I like that. The next day I came back and she had stenciled in with color and gave me a copy. I've had it ever since. Many of you might remember Coach Steve Harrell. He went here to church. They moved to Joplin a few years ago. He is in my office. He was the coach of the CCC girls basketball team. He came to my office and he saw it and he goes, I want that. And so I gladly scanned and ran him off a copy. You gotta love the tenacity and grit of that frog. It says it all. Let us bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, let us never give up in following you. Lord, let us remain steadfast in our calling. Let us always be a people of prayer. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Jesus had taught his disciples how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Then he begins to unpack how important that is. He tells them to dig in, to not quit, to pray with tenacity, to take on the attitude of that book that simply has the title, Grit. Remembering John Wayne and the remake of the movie True Grit. Never quitting. Then Jesus said to them in verse 5, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Let me tell you something. They don't have refrigerators. Maybe they have bread left over for the meal. They tend to make it fresh. And 3 loaves, that's a lot of bread. And he goes, a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and have no food to offer him. So the friend gets there late. This poor guy is put out. And now he has to go after his neighbor. Because see, they ate all the bread at supper. And he's hoping his friend, maybe soon to be ex-friend, has bread. Friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, leave me alone. Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Now, and these are smaller houses. In order to knock loud enough to wake him up, he's pretty much waking up the whole household. You know, he can't put his door ring, his phone on silent mode. He's waking everybody up. Now, who in their right mind would want a friend like that? Midnight. They're out of food, so they come to you. You almost want to say, go to the friend on the east side. They don't have stock refrigerators. I mean, is he hoping he has leftovers so he doesn't know? Because he doesn't. They tend to make bread as you go. This is just-in-time cooking. Does he expect him to get up and bake the bread? That's an hour-long process. So obviously, this knocking door neighbor is incredibly rude. I mean, if there was a different context to this, you'd say he's a jerk. But I tell you, Jesus said in verse 8, even though he will knock it up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. The proverbial squeaking wheel gets the grease. How true. The friend might be mad at you. This could be the end of your friendship. Not want to help you. And here's something else to think about. It's not like you can just go turn on the electricity. And if it's not a full moon, it's going to be dark. You got to get up and stumble and light the candle. And they just don't have a pack of matches around or one of those, you know, nice little clicker things. He's got to get up, light the candle, light the oil lamp. Everybody's already up already. He probably just wants to tell you to shut up and go back to sleep. What would you do for the person who just called you at midnight because of their lack of planning? Hey, I'm out of gas at the woodshed and I left my credit card at home. I know, find a new friend. Walk home. Now, everybody makes mistakes. But let's just say you meagerly knocked on the door. You know, I don't want to disturb you, but hey, dude, are you up? You wouldn't get an answer. And if the person was mad and grumpy, and you go, okay, I don't want to bother you. Let's face it, you wouldn't get anything. So it's like, you know what they say, go big or go home. Jesus, in the context of prayer, talks about the sheer audacity of asking with boldness. The need for perseverance. Tenacity. When you desperately need something, and how much more are many of the issues in your life more important than a loaf of bread? And granted, if you're out of food at midnight and you have a stranger and you're hungry, it's pretty important. We are to fight for what is needed. I love that word tenacity, that word grit. To never give up. This frog is about to get swallowed, and that stork has no idea who it's taken on. You're like, what kind of frog is this? Super frog. It takes tenacity, grit, and perseverance for success. To get what is needed, it takes boldness, at times brashness, an attitude that says, I will not quit. To ask and keep asking. In our prayers, to come to the Father with boldness, yes, in humility, He is the God of the universe. We talked last week about that paradox. He's not the eye in the sky. He's not your co-pilot. He is God Almighty, holy other, not to be trifled with. And yet He says, be bold and tenacious in approaching me in prayer, to keep asking. So verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It does not always mean we'll get what we want, but we will see the Lord answer our prayers in ways we might not imagine, sometimes being the answer no, sometimes being in a totally different mode of deliverance than we would ever expected. And I would say this, there are times that we need to quit, when there's nothing more we can do. But until then, we are called to dig in and pray. Several examples come to mind. An ER room, an emergency room. It's a cold blue. Now, if you've ever been in the ER and seen it, or if you watch it on TV, in the movies, I mean, people are going back and forth, scattering, clear, tubes are going down, needles of adrenaline, pumping, breathing, and they don't quit until it's called. And they'll say, call it, time of death, 12:10. But until then, for that code, and like if you're in the hallway of a hospital and there's a code blue and they're bringing the crash cart, get out of the way, or you'll be the one needing the emergency care next. Maybe the crash carts have gotten smaller since I've worked in hospitals. My guess, if anything, they've gotten bigger. But they go and go and go until they can do no more. A teacher in a classroom, a youth leader, they pour their lives into the children, the adolescents, teenagers. And there are good days and bad. And there's something I never realized, like when I was in first grade, until my wife did some substitute teaching. I bet you never thought about this. You know, I like to drink a lot of water throughout the day. You know, get your 2 liters, and yeah, that number just magically appears. It's just drink a lot of water. Well, you know what happens when you drink a lot of water? You have to go to the restroom. You know what, if you're a first grade teacher or a kindergarten teacher, you don't get to leave the kids alone. Class starts at 9. You don't get a break until lunch at 11:30. You don't get to go run to the bathroom. Because if you disappear for 5 minutes and come back, it's chaos. I mean, even high school kids who should know better. You got a first grade class. Teacher's gone. Party! I mean, you just can't have that cup of coffee before class. You can't. But teachers, youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, they pour their lives into the children. And if you don't love children, you probably will quit soon. Because there's some jobs you can't do if you don't love. If you work in a factory and you got to screw on thingamajigs and you get paid $40 an hour, you probably can put up with that for your whole life. If you get paid to take care of first graders and you make $20 an hour and you don't love it, you're not going to do it your whole life. But you pour your life into those children. And then they move on. In an ER room, you will immediately know your success or not. A teacher, a pastor, you might not see your success for decades, but yet you pour your life in and you don't quit. Tax season, the bane of my existence. My wife and her office, Karen Weimer's office, it starts up about in January, and they don't quit till midnight of the tax season, April 15th. They're blowing and going. They might lock the doors so you can't bring any more tax returns in. But you know, it's not like, you know, I'm tired. I think I'll take a long weekend. No, you won't. They don't go until April. They don't stop until April 15th. parents, our mothers on Mother's Day. You know, they don't quit after a bad day. I like to remind my brother of this. He was probably 16 or 17, and, you know, teenagers, like, there's a thing to hanging out at the sales barn. And if you've ever been to a sales barn on the day of a sale, I mean, there's cars everywhere, trucks unloading, future beef. And you go, "Oh, Dad, let me go." My dad's like, "It's just a busy time. You know, oh, Dad, please let me go. I'll be careful." I mean, how many times did I say, "Dad, Mom, I'll be careful"? Famous last words. He backed into a car. And I remember he came home. "Oh, I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad." And so my folks just quit and kicked him out of the house. "We're done. We got 6 other kids. We're good. There's a chicken coop. Butcher when you need to, and hopefully you'll get some eggs." No, they didn't kick him out of the house, just in case someone's watching. Wow, the Munn family's tough. And North Dakota has cold winters. No, we didn't kick him out. My mom and dad, my dad might want to wanted to, but Mom said no. No, they did not want to kick him out. They stuck with him. They didn't quit. It was hard. Sometimes kids turn on you. I remember sometimes I was so mean to my mom. It's embarrassing. I think back. She wanted me to do something, and it's like, I was going to do it until she told me to. Well, I'm going to show Mom who's boss. And so I had this big blowout with her. My poor mom. I mean, she didn't quit on me. I mean, one time she told me, "Son, if your head wasn't attached, I would fear you would lose it." I was only in my teens. But she didn't quit. She kept making me oatmeal. So unless it's quitting time, you keep knocking. You keep asking. I love the story of Voyager 1. Voyager 1 is a small little satellite launched in 1977. That was over 4 decades ago. It's still out there, some 15 billion miles from Earth. It takes 24 hours for the radio signals to reach Earth. It is the Energizer Bunny of the satellites. It must have the Energizer battery, or the nuclear form of it, inside. They never expected, I can't remember what its expected lifespan was, 5 years. And it takes 24 plus hours for the radio waves to make it to us. It's dying. And there's still a NASA team that sits there and gets its signals. And yes, there will be a time for them to quit. Eventually, that NASA office will close. Those engineers will get new projects. Sometimes it's time to close the door. And they'll know when. We don't always know when. And I say, when in doubt, you keep going and you keep knocking. We serve a Father who may not always give us what we want or think we need. But we serve a Father who tells us to courageously ask Him, and He'll always do what's best for us, even if we cannot understand it. We are called to have a childlike faith. Childlike, not childish. Which of you, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Both a snake and a scorpion would imply not even something that's just benign, but something that would rather attack you. They're needing something for their own nourishment, and not only do you ignore it, you would give them something to hurt them. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? First of all, Who said anything about the Holy Spirit? We're talking about prayer, and suddenly I didn't even know we were supposed to ask for the Holy Spirit. Why this suddenly right turn? Well, let's back up and go a little bit, and let's look at evil people. Evil people taking care of their children. Otto Adolf Eichmann, the mastermind behind the Final Solution, the Holocaust of the Jews, of gays, of the handicapped, of anyone who didn't meet their supposed standard. 6 million plus, probably 90% of those Jews. And he was the mastermind. And he looked like any of you or I. He had four sons, first born in 1935. And the Holocaust began to take full force in 41 or 42. The main architect of this final solution of what to do with the Jews and others who didn't meet their standards. Monstrous activities of evil. Hard to imagine. And I would dare say his children were oblivious to what he was doing all day. No idea. No concept of what their loving dad was doing. Possibly a good father. Come home, pat little Junior on the head, play some games with him, wrestle with him, tuck him into bed. Hailing Hitler. They probably thought Hitler was a good man, like their father. And if someone in such a depraved, distorted, and immoral state can treat his own children so well, the analogy holds how much more than a loving father, God Almighty, would treat us. If your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Luke tells us how our loving father will take care of us in ways we can't imagine. Because if even the evil can do that, how much more and better a loving God who is holy above us and knows not only our wants, but knows our needs. And he gives us God's empowering presence. In fact, we're told to ask for God's empowering presence, the Holy Spirit. And this isn't just a conversation about spiritual giftings, prophecy, and tongues. Not that those are excluded. Rather, is an all-encompassing spiritual blessing. The need for God's Holy Spirit to walk in our lives, empowering us for our Christian life and walk. And sometimes that's quite scary. And we're called to ask for this because we need this. Now, we are called to think and use our brains. It isn't an either or. You know, I'm an intellectual, I'm a scholar, I'm spirit-filled, I just go where the Spirit leads me. It's not either or, it's both and. You know, some people say, well, the Holy Spirit's my teacher, I don't need to learn things. Every teacher I've ever known has given work and assignments. And if the teacher is your teacher, when you're doing your test, you don't get to ask the teacher, what's the answer? They go, I told you to study. In the same way, we are to study. We are still to be intellectual. We are to know what we believe. Because we don't just say, well, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Weren't you reading? Weren't you praying? I worked through that. We are called to use our God-given minds and intelligence. And yet we are called to understand God's empowering presence. And you know what's kind of funny and sad at the same time? Denominations are kind of split on this. Those who take the more intellectual approach and those who take the spiritual approach. And God's like, it's not either or, it is both and. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we're called to ask for it and to see how God will move. What God will do in our lives. It's given at salvation, but it doesn't end there. It's It shows up at surprising time, gives us unction and the move of the Holy Spirit to bless and pray for others, to know the will of God and speak boldly. I like to feel when I preach and when I minister that it's the move of the Holy Spirit through me, not because of me. Yes, I do work on my sermons. I study. I read. But I feel without God's empowering presence with His Holy Spirit, it would go like this and take a nosedive off the pulpit. The Holy Spirit's transformative work in our lives. You've often heard the slogan, "Come as you are." Churches proclaim it. I tell you, when we say that, we're being somewhat duplicitous. Because we do really mean, come as you are. But what we also need to say is, don't expect to stay that way. If you encounter God, the living Savior Jesus Christ, I feel like Billy Graham.
Go for it.
If you experience God's saving grace, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and if you have God's empowering presence, the Holy Spirit in your life, you cannot and will not stay as you are. You will change. God's empowering presence. And Luke says, pray for that. And yes, it is scary, because you don't always know how the Holy Spirit will move in your life and direct you and move you in ways you have never imagined. And then if you're a mom, even a dad, but on Mother's Day, and you're praying for the Holy Spirit and guidance over your children, be careful, because you don't know where the wind will take them. You can read books of missionaries, of mothers who prayed for their children, and the Holy Spirit moved, and so did the kids, halfway across the globe. And yes, some lost their lives. And some preached the gospel to people who had never heard it before and had impacts that we can never imagine, because the Holy Spirit moved in their life and they moved. Let us pray for God's empowering presence in our lives with childlike faith. For the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is hard. It's difficult. It's stressful. And then you got to work with other people who don't always agree with you, don't always see things the way you see things, and yet we're called to work with them in Christ. It will take tenacity, knowledge, wisdom, prayer, God's empowering presence. Ask for God's Holy Spirit in your life to move in all areas. Let us pray. Asking, seeking, knocking for God's empowering presence, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, in our community, for our nation, and across the globe. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, as we look at this picture, the frog, the tenacity there. Lord, as we see those children praying, Lord, let us have a tenacious, childlike faith approaching you with boldness. Lord, let the Holy Spirit move in our lives in ways that we often can't imagine. Lord, let your empowering presence transform us to be more Christ-like for the glory of the Father. We pray this, Almighty God, our Father, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.